It's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Shadur.
The Shadur Sanders.
The Shadur. And he has it hard. Shadur. He has it harder than everybody.
He can't find those other kids that grew up better than him.
Oh, I went to a private school. I went to a private school.
Just count it out, man.
What happened on 8 Mile? He was like, Clarence, him and his parents had a real good nice marriage. Yeah. Uh-huh. He went to a private school.
Well, we'll see how it ages up there, man. I you know, and we'll circle back to it because I want to pay off the tease, but I just got questions about offensive and defensive coordinator in such a major way.
Yeah, I agree.
In such a major way. And I think it could rear its head during the season the way it did this past year because it's an even more important year for Shadur. So we'll circle back to that a little bit later. Is the baseball season already over in Colorado? The Rockies, they did win a game over the weekend, all right, but they lost 3-4 to the Arizona Diamondbacks down there at Chase Field. They got outscored 32-14. 32-14. They have one of the most glaring run differentials after five games in Major League Baseball history. And if you didn't see today, and you probably didn't, that the Rockies lost again. This time to the Chicago Cubs. All right. So they start the season, one win, four losses. Did you watch, and there's no judgment here because I don't care.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Did you watch an inning of Rockies baseball this past weekend?
Nope. I did not. Not this past weekend. I watched a little bit today until I saw what I saw. And then I had to turn it off.
Dude, it was one of the there was a really embarrassing moment for the Rockies today. First of all, they didn't score a run. Okay, so let's just start there.
What would it end up being? 5-0?
Yeah, 5-0.
Okay.
5-0. They mustered 3 hits. Okay. If you remember on opening day, they had 4 hits.
Yeah.
So we're talking like in the first 5 games, having 3 hits, having 4 hits, that's supposed to be the strength of the team. Okay. And there was a play today, and I have the call for it, at Wrigley. When they got shut out by the Cubs, there's 2 men on base on first and second, okay? Batters up, and this is what proceeded to happen.
Base hit left field. Here's Hap. They're going to hold him up. Oh! It gets under the glove of Jones. It rolls all the way to the wall. Hap is in. Suzuki is in. Morrell will stop at third. Now he's coming home. Oh, baby!
I mean, guys,
why?
Guys, if you haven't seen the play, just wait. Just wait, because ESPN's going to show it to you a few times here in the next 24 hours.
It's coming.
Oh, my gosh. And it happened against the Cubs, which are like still like the Cubs are a national brand, and so they're going to show it to you. You're going to see it. It wasn't even varsity level baseball. Okay. And I'm not setting out to disrespect any individual player, but it was the perfect microcosm. It was a perfect microcosm that represents where we're at here with the Rockies. It was a very embarrassing moment.
Zach, those men get paid way too much money.
Yeah.
To look like that out there. Yeah. I do not care who you are. All right, baseball players get paid a lot of money. And for you to go out there and act like you don't care, because that's what it comes down to. It's like attention to detail.
Yeah,
Zach,
but I don't think it's, well, come attention on, to detail, okay.
No, I'm talking about don't care. You can't tell me that you going out there the first game, opening day.
Oh, the first game. I think that they care. I think that these individual players care. I don't think they want to go out there and do a bad job. You don't get to pro baseball by not caring. I just think it's They haven't fielded a good team. I don't know what to say.
You're talking about pro baseball.
Yeah.
And we're showing up like this. They don't deserve to be in the pro then. You shouldn't be an MLB baseball player if you can't do that. It's like we had 3 hits today, correct?
Yeah.
Drew, go out there, man.
They've had games with as many errors as they've had hits. And today was close. 3 hits, 2 errors. I mean, it's not good. Do you know who the highest paid member of the Colorado Rockies is?
Chris Bryant, right?
It's Chris Bryant. You know what he is after 5 games?
Hmm.
Besides a mega millionaire and past his prime, Chris Bryant is 0 for 14. It is the literal worst start to any year of his career. He's 0 for 14.
And that's caring? Like Chris Bryant getting paid that much money, Zach, and going 0 for 14?
I think it's a disturbingly bad product. I don't think the root of it is the players not caring. That's just me. We can agree to disagree on that.
I'm just trying to get on the same page.
Yeah, I think the page that the Rockies are reading is a book that I don't want to pick up.
Mm.
It's really bad, you guys. It's really bad. We knew it was bad. We knew it was going to be bad. But this is just where we're at. They win a game. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
You were right, though. We all were right because we asked, like, how many games were they going to win? That series, right?
Yeah. On Friday, we said they'll win one. Because it's baseball.
Mm.
It's just baseball. You're gonna run into a win.
Yeah.
Now and then. But we'll see, man. Disturbing. Man. You asked a question about Chris Bryant's contract during the commercial break.
I did, but I probably forgot about it because of how bad they're doing.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You said
it came back to me. Okay. I got hit with the baseball. Is this worse? Is the contract with Chris Bryant worse than Russell Wilson's?
No, but it's by default. It's not for anything positive that Chris Bryant will do.
Mm.
I think the next time Chris Bryant gets on base, this season. And the next time will be the first time because he's 0 for 14. But the next time he gets on base for the Rockies, he will actually have done more under his contract than Russell Wilson would have done under his. And it's literally
you're right.
That's what breaks the tie. It's by default. It's by nothing that Chris Bryant has done.
Wow.
But when you have a mega contract that you don't play a down under, that breaks the tie. So this is bad, you guys. This is bad. All right. What happened this past weekend to maybe the most anticipated Colorado sporting event of the packed slate over the weekend? I want to talk about that with Phil coming up next. What happened to maybe the single most anticipated Colorado sporting event this past weekend? We are on the air on Friday, and I posed a question to the group. I said, hey, it was a really busy weekend. I mean, we had men's March Madness. We had the Rockies season opening series. We had the Avalanche facing and hosting a Nashville team that lost in regulation once in like the last month. The Nuggets were on a Friday night with the number one seed hanging in the balance against Minnesota. And we put all that. I said, if you could watch one game this weekend, and I think, we had a DU hockey was in there.
Yes.
Against Cornell with an opportunity to go to the Frozen Four. And I remember that because I looked over and that's what Drew said behind the glass, which, by the way.
2 seconds. 1 second. Denver is going to go on to the Frozen faceoff in St. Paul. They mob Mac Davis, who gives up one goal, and Denver wins it 2-1.
Just super cool for the Pios, man.
They're good, man.
They are like they're on the brink of making history. I mean, this is the program's 5th trip to the Frozen Four in the last 8 years. It's the 19th Frozen Four in the program's 75-season history and 7th in the last 20 years. They are just, they're a blue blood. That's who they are. They are legitimately a blue blood, and they're going to face Boston University on Thursday.
All right, let's go, DU.
So I heard Mike Evans say there's collectively playing later this week, between the final four teams, 28 national championships.
Yeah, it's crazy. And by the way, it's next Thursday. It's not this coming Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
because
they take a week off because of the NCAA basketball final four. But yeah, they'll play the following Thursday. But yeah, you're talking about four blue blood or colleges in this Frozen Four with Boston, Denver, Boston College, and Michigan. Now, yep. So you know where I was going with this point, Abby, because if DU and Michigan both win,
could you imagine
they will be playing for the all-time record for NCAA national championships? They'll be playing for their 10th.
They each have 9.
Each have 9.
It's the Wolverines and the Pios. If that happens, man, oh my goodness!
So I'm taking it. Everybody wants the Wolverines to win so that we can play them in the final.
You know, I don't know how much on that of other people's radar. Like, if you're not. I'm sure it is for Michigan and Denver, but if you're Boston College or Boston, they have great fan bases as well.
Well, that's a huge rivalry. Boston College is a massive rivalry. They play for the Bean Pod every year.
Yes.
So that's a big rivalry. I mean, honestly, you can't really go wrong with any of the three possible matchups you can get or four possible matchups.
Yeah, when they're this historically good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
great.
That's
way.
Duke, North Carolina, UCLA, and, you know, I don't know, fill in the blank with UConn, in the Final Four. You can't lose. By the way, UConn, holy smokes, what a wagon that team is. God almighty.
A team so dominant, man.
Dude, just incredible. Incredible. What happened with CU women's basketball against Caitlin Clark in Iowa? I was dead wrong thinking that CU could upset them.
I was too, Zach. You know, and of course, I'm always going to roll with my Buffs. The Lady Buffs had a phenomenal year. They were up against a pretty tough team.
Oh, of course.
A dominant team.
Yeah.
And when you're not up to the task, if you're not shooting well, if you're not playing good defense, if you're not rebounding well, you're outmatched. Outgunned, outmatched, and that's what the Lady Buffs were. They did not play a good game, and they got humiliated out there against Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, it was about midway through the second quarter where I was like, oh, man, this is not going to work out well for the reasons that you just named. I mean, they didn't shoot it well, 8 of 29 from 3. That's 27%. That's not good. Caitlin Clark struggled actually from 3 for 11.
Which is wild, man.
Yeah, but she was just such a distributor. The 15 assists were just her court vision on full display. But, you know, CU women's basketball to be in the Sweet 16, second consecutive year, first time that's happened in a very long time. They were ranked as high as 3 earlier this season. It didn't end the way that we had. I mean, there was once upon a time, I mean, talking with you, few months ago when they beat LSU to start the season, it was like, wait, they could be better than last year. And if their baseline for that is Sweet 16, maybe this is a Final Four team, and could this be one of the biggest stories in Colorado? Unfortunately, it falls short of that. Still a solid season, though, for J.R. Payne.
Very solid season. Very solid season for Coach J.R. Payne. I'm interested to see what's going to happen next for her. Does she stay here? Does she get an opportunity that she cannot, you know, not take? That's going to be what's on my radar when it comes to Coach J.R. Payne.
Yeah, me too. She's done really good stuff there. And could another bigger school be calling? Don't know. But she spoke about her team after the game.
Yeah, I would just like to start by saying how unbelievably proud of our team that I am for the season that we had and for the women that they are and for the leaders that they are and the way that they contribute not only to our basketball program, but to our community, and honestly, every single person that they come into contact with. They're incredible young women. I'm so proud to be their coach, proud of everything that they've accomplished on and off the court. And as I told them, it was an incredible season that was not defined by this one game. So really proud of the season that we had, and excited to see what some of these seniors are gonna do, and excited for where our program is headed.
Well, one of those seniors, Jalen Sherrod, within the last hour or 90 minutes, has declared for the WNBA draft. She is a little water bug. She is so fast, and when she gets up on some of those rebounds, really good athlete, undersized. Don't know I don't know, and won't pretend to know the landscape of WNBA basketball for Jalen Sherrod. But if you go up and down the lineup, it's like, no, she's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be gone. So we'll see what's next. But a tip of the cap for them. It was a good story to follow throughout the year. And now Iowa turns around and plays LSU. A rematch of last year's national championship. And that game a year ago did like 9.9 million viewers on ESPN. Highest rated, not only just women's college basketball game, highest or most viewed college basketball game in the history of ESPN broadcasting a game. I know CBS does a Final Four and whatnot, so I have to mention that. But we'll see what this thing does tonight, man.
It's going to be big. It really is. I mean, you got the villains versus the so-called good guys, right?
And who's the villain?
Everybody
is LSU?
They want to pan LSU as the villains, you know?
Do they also, label themselves as that, though, too?
I mean, me personally, I would want to be the villain.
Sure.
In sports.
Sure.
It's fun.
Dude, playing at LSU?
Yeah, you don't want to be the good guy. The good guys finish last in the sports.
Yeah. But Angel Reese was leaning into it over the weekend. You guys see that? She's like, they want to be us. They want to beat us. They ain't us. We're LSU. We outdraw the men. Okay, all right, I see you. Well, so we'll see what happens later today on ESPN. Kamaje, I know you follow the sport very closely. We do not. 30 seconds or less. Give us your forecast of what we're in store for in this rematch today.
I think we're in store for one of the craziest games I think we're going to see probably in the history of women's basketball. You have a team that's been favored by the refs all season, and you have a team that is...
Who is that?
Iowa.
Okay.
And you have a team that's leaning into the villain role, right? So you have the good girls in this case, and then the bad girls in this case. And I think LSU, they embrace moments like this, and it's going to clash, and it's going to create one of the most high-powered games I think we're going to ever see.
All right. I love that little snapshot preview of what we're in store for on ESPN here later this evening. Okay, with 8 games left on the Avs schedule, an age-old issue in Denver is new again. Details next. With 8 games left on the Avalanche schedule, what feels like is an age-old issue in Denver becomes new again. And it's not brand new. We've talked about it through the year, but we haven't talked about it here in the last month or so because it hasn't been that relevant. But here it is, rearing its ugly head. At one point or another, how many years in a row have we talked about the Avalanche goaltending situation? And rhetorical question for our listeners, and I know for you, getting started on this journey, this is like... We've been talking about this here in Denver for, I don't know, Drew, what do you think? Like maybe 4 or 5 years at least? I mean, it
seems like it. Yeah. I mean, I think back even to kind of back in the bubble. You remember when Michael Hutchinson was playing in that series against Dallas? After that, it was Darcy Kemper and Pavel Francouz. Mm-hmm. And now it's Georgiev. And now it's Anonin. Oh. I mean, it's just, the Stanley Cup year. We were
arguing during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Should it be Darcy? And Darcy had the eye thing. Uh-huh. Remember?
Yeah, poked in the eye by Ryan Johansson in the round one series against Nashville.
Ryan Johansson, who's been bad for the Avs this whole time.
Yeah.
But it was like we were literally arguing, and there was a reasonable thought at the time, like, no, Frankie should start over Darcy Kemper. And that was like when everything was on the line. And here we are, 8 games left in the season. We watched Georgie get pulled early in the second period on Saturday afternoon. He gave up 4 goals on 13 shots, and he got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on one of the goals, and
my man went crazy.
He did, and got yanked partly because of the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that Bednar confirmed after the game.
Look, I know that I'm starting this journey, but I ain't never seen a goalie get upset like that. Toss the puck into the stands, all right? You're in the middle of a game. I know you're not doing well. It's not all on you. But emotionally, obviously, you're not there. You're angry.
Right.
And then you get pulled. And then Auden steps in, does a phenomenal job.
Stopped all 22 shots that came his way.
We got 8 games left, and we're dealing with goalie situations.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not ideal.
No.
I don't think it's a sky is falling thing yet, but I wonder, like, no one is confusing Georgiev with Andrei Vasilevskiy to start. This is not an ideal scenario. And we were talking earlier in the show, and I asked a question, like, we saw Igor Shesterkin last week from the Rangers. I'm like, how many cups would the Avs win with this complement of this group with a goaltender like that, and they're not stopping at one. I feel pretty good, comfortable saying that, but it's like, man, are they going to have to for the second time in 3 years, play well enough to actually overcome their goaltending.
A goal leak is still a series, Zach, by himself. And we don't have a goalie that can steal a series.
I don't know if we have one that can steal a game. That's just the truth. And the goalie position, it's funky. Anything can happen on any particular night.
No, for sure.
But what we know right now, I can't forecast that. I just can't.
No, you're right. Like looking at the goalie position, every time there's a breakaway, you kind of get tense or nervous. Like, what's getting ready to happen? Right, and it's not all on the goalies. I've said that before.
It's not.
Our defense has been shaky.
Yeah.
This year.
That first goal yesterday was just like point blank. Like, I mean, dude, dead to rights, 6 feet in front of the goal. There's no one there. Just bang. Yeah. Well, no, that's not on Georgie. Like, yeah. And maybe part of Georgie's frustration is maybe being put in some of those situations.
I think that's what it is.
And he's got to wear it.
No, for sure. I think that's what it is. It's like, when am I going to get the help? Because everything's falling on me. A goal gets scored. Not everybody's saying, oh, the defense was bad.
No.
No, they're like, Georgiev gave it up.
Yeah.
Georgiev was out of place. So I feel him. But he can't get so emotional that you end up getting taken out the game.
Right.
And then Onanen takes advantage of the opportunity presented to him. And he does a great job with it. And now you have us, Drew, KJ, all asking the question, do we have a goalie problem?
Yeah.
With the Colorado Avalanche with 8 games left.
I know. Not ideal. Not ideal. So Onanen, who's going to get the start tonight.
Mm.
What do we think about that, by the way? Like, that's just interesting. I just think that's interesting. And is Georgiev, in a very, very indirect roundabout way, almost being punished a little bit?
He's in timeout.
It's like, dude, I don't trust you right now. I don't trust you right now. You need to, you know, we're not calling it timeout anymore. Well, we still do sometimes. Like, you need to go sit in the better choices chair.
Oh, that's what you call it now?
Go sit in the better choices chair. You need to make better choices. Don't throw the puck into the crowd when you're upset.
You never watched the Juwana Man, have you?
I have not.
He did some crazy stuff in Juwana Man. He pretty much just took off all his clothes. He was in a basketball game, took off all his clothes, took his jock strap off, shot it into the stands, ended up in a man's hot dog.
Interesting.
That's kind of what Georgiev was getting ready to do. I was like, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll see Onanen tonight against Columbus. Columbus is not a very good team. We just saw these two teams lock horns in the last couple weeks, and the Avs curb stomped them 6-1. All right. Onanen is 6-3-1 on the season. His save percentage is really good. He had a couple shutouts in there, but both shutouts are against a bad Blackhawks team, which I believe is elevating his season averages, the guy's played in 10 games, all right? So let's not get carried away with Onanen. We'll see.
So what if he does a shutout versus Columbus? Columbus. Does it really hold any weight?
Yeah, because I think because you're playing NHL hockey. And you're at the highest level.
Yeah.
I think it holds weight. I just wouldn't let that weight carry me into a future decision. Like, Onanen's gonna start like in round one, in game number one. Like, if I had a game to win right now, I'm still starting Alexander Georgiev.
Mm.
You?
I'm starting Alexander Georgiev. Drew?
Oh, I'm starting Georgiev.
Okay.
Hands down.
KJ?
God. Georgiev by default.
Okay.
But here's the question, guys. So the Avs actually have 2 more back-to-backs the rest of the season. So you're going to see Onanen in at least one of those 2 back-to-backs, or, you know, one of those games in the back-to-backs. One of them is this week. They're all against much better opponents. Could Onanen play himself into a more elevated role in the playoffs? Like, because those back-to-backs, you got Minnesota and Edmonton.
Okay, yeah.
The second one, you've got Winnipeg and Vegas.
Okay.
Could he play himself into a more elevated role if he performs well against better competition than what we've seen against the Blackhawks, what we're going to see against Columbus tonight?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
I think so.
I think his teammates would agree with it, too. If you have someone like Nathan MacKinnon that goes up to Coach Bednar and says, hey, I kind of feel more comfortable with Onanen being there, I think it happens.
You know, part of what we saw a couple years ago is when Frankie would come in, they just rallied because they knew they had to just play above and beyond in front of him in order to be successful. I wonder if there's a little bit of that plays into tonight and maybe in one of those scenarios in the next week or two. Regardless of what happens here around the corner, we're going to be circling back to talk about it.
But everything you guys are saying is the reason why we don't have a number one goalie, because at the end of the day, none of these questions would be a question if we had a number one.
No, no, nope, nope. And this was relevant even at the trade deadline. We asked, will they address this? So, but I think that was around the time when Onanen had played well, and it was like, okay, yeah. So we'll see. Okay, this weekend was a busy one in sports. We saw a lot go down, but there's also something we didn't see, and we'll talk about what that is coming up next. I have this thing where I get older, but just never wiser. Midnights become my afternoons. When my depression works the graveyard shift, all of the people. This weekend was a busy one in sports. Saw a lot go down. There's also something we didn't see. Have you watched the Taylor Swift concert yet that they put out on Disney Plus?
I've seen it. I haven't watched it, but I've seen it.
I would just say this. I would
try it out.
Yeah, I would just get in the right mindset. Pour yourself a cocktail, or you know, however you get down.
Yeah.
And watch it, because it's not. It's basically the show. It's the show that came to Denver.
Uh huh.
But it's in SoFi, and it's just one continuous night. It's not a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's not a documentary. There's no talking. It's literally just the show that turned this country inside out for a summer. You get to see it. And we showed it to our kids for the first time, and they were just enthralled. I mean, just enthralled.
I might have to watch it. Maybe tonight.
It just at some point. And you're going to be like, oh, I remember this song. Oh, yeah. I know this song. It's like one of those. All right, let's give something away. I want to talk about what we didn't see this weekend. That was an action-packed sports weekend, but there was someone who was noticeably absent. Who will not be absent this July is Ludacris and T-Pain. Have you heard of those guys, Phil?
Ah, I love me some T-Pain and some Luda.
Luda. Both of those guys, believe it or not, are going to be at Cheyenne Frontier Days.
Stand up!
Which... let's go. Thursday, July 25th. All this week, three times a day, you're going to get a chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. So how? It's real easy. You listen to The Fan with us, with Stoke and Josh, with Schlereth and Evans for your chance to win your pair of tickets. And we have a pair of tickets to give away to go see Ludacris at Cheyenne Frontier Days on July 25th. Be caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043. Again, be caller number 4 right now at 303-713-1043. And you can get yourself a pair of tickets to Cheyenne Frontier Days, July 25th. Best of luck to all of our callers. You got a favorite Luda song?
I got a couple of them, man.
All right.
I like the Stand Up one. And get back, get back.
You don't know me like that.
But then there was another one that I can't say on air. I like.
Move, Phil. Get out the way.
Of course, that one.
he had it for a minute. The fact that he's still around, it feels like in the last year or two, he's back like kind of on the scene after being away.
Yeah. What about T-Pain? You like T-Pain?
Not really. Was never one of my favorites.
Okay, I honestly like T-Pain. I mean, back in the day when I was on the skating ring, you know, he was really
when
big.
When you were on the what?
The skating ring.
Like skating? would you wear roller skates?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Skate City. That's where everybody used to go. That's the big day.
Yeah.
On Friday and Saturday, you go out there, get on the skating ring.
Do they still do that?
No, they probably do. You know, I haven't been there forever. All right, but growing up, that's something that you would do.
Yeah.
You know, go get, you know, that's how you got a date.
It was the same. You know? It'd be dark, the lasers going everywhere.
You know, for me, I knew how to backwards skate a little bit.
I could not. That's one thing I could not do.
No, I wasn't the best skater.
Roller skates or roller blades?
I had to go with the roller skates.
You went with the roller skates? Yeah, the stopper, uh-huh. Like on the front?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, they have one for the little kids where they just stop every single skate and you just walk on it.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, you could do that one if you want.
Oh, dude, I was a rollerblader. I'm very confident that I was a faster skater than you.
I said, well, see, me, I was listening to the music, grooving, moving with the beat. And you? you would have thought you were in hockey.
So that's why I started to rollerblade, because that's what we do with hockey. But we had in upstate New York, in the city called Schenectady, and it's, there was a roll, it was called Rollerama.
All right.
Or Starburst. And you had birthday parties there. And I went to a party and they had just waxed the floor. And you're on that first, you're a part of that first rotation of fresh waxing. Dude, took one step. Now, I was probably, at this time, I was maybe 10 years old. Dude, I hit my face so hard.
Mm.
And my teeth went through my lip. And if you look closely, I have a scar on my face, on my upper lip.
Yeah.
That it was like just split wide open, straight to the hospital. Stitches. Stitches on the face. All right. I hope kids still roller skate. I hope they do.
I would hope. You know, I would think they would. I mean, what else are they doing? You don't see them outside.
Playing a video game that's roller skating.
Yeah. These video games, man.
Jamal Murray, once again, did not play. Didn't play on Friday night. Didn't play against Cleveland yesterday. At what point, or if we're not already there, is this like, dude, we're at the end of the season here. We have a week and a half left. How concerned are you right now?
I'm concerned, okay, because I know Malone wants to win these games, so it's not like he doesn't want Jamal out there. Now, he may be trying to be a little bit more cautious with him and say, hey, let's rest. I know a lot of people think that. Me, personally, I think that there's a little bit more to the story. I think that there's some stuff going on with his knee, his shin splints, and the ankle.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know,
and that's in addition to missing a month with a hamstring.
Yes. I don't think he's healthy. I don't think that man is healthy.
Well, there's clearly something wrong, and it's a matter of, is it precautionary to rest him up and get to tip-top 100%, or it's like, no, if he tried to go, he could have a setback. And you have a setback with 8 games left in the year. None of this works without Jamal.
Mm.
Just like none of it works without Jokic.
And you've said it. You've said that.
None of it works without Aaron Gordon. None of it works without Michael Porter Jr. and KCP. Like, if something were to happen to one of those 5 players, go through the mental exercise of what the new starting lineup would look like.
Who? Who, Zach? Who? Please enlighten me on who
it would be
can fill those shoes.
It would be a trickle-down problem for everyone with the team. And they need their starting lineup. We just can't say, it's the best starting lineup in basketball. It's the best starting lineup in basketball. And then talk yourself into one of these guys not being around. Mm. There's no margin for error in the health department with the starting 5. And I'm concerned. It's not sky falling. It's like maybe like a, because I remember the questions a year ago, but a year ago was a year ago. They were in a different position and they had lost games down the stretch, but they already had the one seed locked up. That's not the case. And now you could be going on the road. And I'm just to the point where I watch what I watch on Friday night against Minnesota. Phil, you tell me what you saw, but I saw guys who started a game and it looked like their gas tank had a quarter tank left in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like an AAU team that was playing its 3rd game of the day against a team that was playing their first. And I wonder if everything else needs to be scrapped and it's just about the health. Seeds be damned. You're not going to finish as low as the 4 seed. You're going to be a top 3 seed. And it's like, you want to know what? We cannot fight a 2-front war. We can't be fighting the health a front and then also trying to get the number 1 seed. Pick a lane and pick the health lane.
No, you have to pick the health lane. Zach, there's no other choice. Pick the health lane. I kind of go back on this, like with track, right? There's a time in track where you just kind of get ran to the ground and you're just not fast anymore, right? And maybe for a week, maybe for 2. But if you keep going, then you'll hit that peak. And all of a sudden, you're the fastest that you've ever been. I'm hoping that's the case with the Denver Nuggets. Or it could be where you peak out, you max out, you're hurt, you're injured, and you're just not going anywhere. When I'm watching that game, all right, and I know that people, I put a poll out after the game Friday, Zach, and I asked, I said, should we be worried? And, you know, 24 said yes, 76 said, like, relax, no. And there are some people that were upset, well, why am I even asking this question? And it's like, we lost to the Phoenix Suns twice.
Yep.
They're in the playoffs. We may have to see them.
Yep.
We lost to the Timberwolves. We almost lost to them, number 2, game 2 against them, right?
Correct. And the Nuggets had like a 20-something point lead and ended up winning by 2.
Yeah, and then we got dominated at home versus the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
All right?
Down by as many as 26 on Friday night.
Zach, we almost got swept by Oklahoma City Thunder, right? So for people that are just like turning the blind eye and saying, you know what, you know, they just weren't up for the game. Those are 3 teams that we may have to see in the playoffs.
Yeah.
on our side of the bracket.
Yeah.
Or on our side of the division, right?
Yeah, yes.
And we're sitting here acting like it's like there's not a big deal. The Sacramento Kings are another team that has beat us multiple times. That's not a big deal. At some point, you have to start seeing things for what it is. And I'm a little nervous. I'm just going to put it out there. It's not like last year where we're just going to run through teams.
No, it's not going to happen. We talked about, we've been actually talking about this for a while. But it was on Thursday or Friday. Hmm. We asked the group, do you believe the Denver Nuggets will play in a game 7 this year? And we almost all said yes. And it's just, it's not going to be peaches and cream. And to you asking the question, first of all, no one should get upset, but you're online, so people live upset online. You can't say all day Friday, after just getting beat by Phoenix, that doesn't matter. This game's the one that matters. This is the biggest game of the year. Get embarrassed and say, no, there's still nothing to see here. You can't have it both ways. Now, when the playoffs start, the new hourglass is going to get turned over, and it's going to be a different season, and we are only going to be talking about what happens in the playoffs. We're not going to be talking about these games in March, but we're so close to the end, and you're seeing a couple things that are just like, okay, like got to keep our eye on that type deal. And if you're nervous, I'm not going to tell you how to feel. There's reasons to be nervous. It's going to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy.
Well, tell me something why I shouldn't be nervous. That Jamal's hurt. We don't know what's happening with him. All it takes is something to aggravate him during the first game of the playoffs, and you said it already, that we're not going to look the same.
No. You might not. I mean, if Jamal's not ready, you might not even make it out of the first round. Mm. And if you think I'm crazy, perfect. Call me crazy. I'll reference what I said after the Phoenix game. I'm just proceeding with caution. Yeah. Doesn't mean that you're not confident in the Denver Nuggets. And to your question that you're asking me, why wouldn't I be concerned? Because the Denver Nuggets have the best player in the world. I saw what that looks like and was reminded what that looks like yesterday against a pretty good Cleveland Cavaliers team. No one in this league, and just keep it to the West, no one in the West has earned more trust than Denver, and the Nuggets, another title run, it's not a projection or a forecast in a way that it is for Phoenix, because we've never seen it. Dallas, we've never seen it. Oklahoma City, we've never seen it. Yeah. Minnesota, we've never seen it. Denver, I just saw it. I could tell you all about it. I remember specific plays. It just happened. Yeah. And I'm looking at the same, mostly, at least 5 of the top 6 are the same, of guys who just did it, and I believe that after the season, they'll get a natural, organic break while the play-in tournament happens.
For sure.
And I think that if this team, led by Jokic, and they're healthy, and that's really important, obviously, they go and kick the door down at game number 1 of the playoffs, I'm telling you, we're going to be feeling pretty damn good. Do you have to, again, kind of use a forecast to envision that? Yeah, a little bit, but we've already saw it. So
I see what you see. So you're going off of what you've seen.
Yeah.
But
I still believe that that's who this team is ultimately going to be.
For sure. You see a team that if they can get the rest and they're healthy, they're unstoppable. That is the case. That is a fact. But this is also a fact. Their bench is not good. Their bench is not as good as last year. We don't have a Bruce Brown walking through this door like you said, Zach.
No.
We don't know what Peyton Watson's going to bring to the table when the time comes. Christian Brown, okay? He looks good on times, and then there's a time where it's like, dude, you went for 0 points.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the playoffs.
Right.
MPJ has looked phenomenal this whole entire month. Can he keep that up in the playoffs? Aaron Gordon, are you healthy?
Yeah.
Can you sustain this?
Yep.
And what is going on with Jamal Murray? That's the number one question I want to know, because he hasn't been playing.
No, he hasn't. None of this works without him. And, you know, it was, I will say this, I'm glad that I saw what I saw yesterday against Cleveland. I'm a little bit more, okay. No, it was like a reminder game of like what this looks like. Now they were hitting shots, and it's easier to you know, when, if you're hitting shots and you're hitting 60-something% from three, which they did.
Yeah.
You could actually like a la carte pick what you want it to mean. You could watch yesterday and say, "Yep, reminder game, best team in the world, best player in the world," or you could say, "You know what? They shot it really well." Against a team that's not as close to a defensive team like Minnesota, And just because they made 21 threes, that's not how it's going to be in the NBA playoffs. And I want to see more, or I am a little bit nervous, or I am a little bit trepidatious. You could kind of pick what lane you want to be in, and I think there's arguments to be made for both.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely on the other side of the lane. I'm on the other side of the lane of I'm watching a team that beat up on the Cavaliers, Cleveland Cavaliers, okay? But I want to see them beat up on the Timberwolves. I want to see them beat up on the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them beat up on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay, that's what I want to see. I'm sorry, but like that's what I want to see. When I watched the Denver Nuggets play against the Timberwolves, they got out-physicaled.
They did.
Okay, they got outshot, out-rebound. They were not into it. And I'm sorry to say, but the referees are not going to be on our side. They're going to let things slide, and we can't sit here and complain and cry, and that's why we're not getting those calls, because it's just not going to happen. And if the Denver Nuggets are going to do that, it's going to be a long, long series throughout these playoffs. But if they buckle down and know that this is going to be football pretty much, that's what's going to have to happen. It's the truth.
It's dramatically changed during the year. It has. Jamal Murray already listed as questionable tomorrow night against San Antonio at home. So just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 total games left in the season before everything is on the line.